to be back with y'all tonight. We've been all over Western Kentucky this afternoon, so we're excited to be back. So we had to go over and eat lunch with my parents and all of my family. We always eat Sunday dinner together there at the church that Daddy pastors there at Dawson. So we're excited about being back here tonight. And I got a special topic tonight that I'm excited about. I've been studying quite a bit, and it's one of those things where it means a lot to you once you realize what it really is, what power it has, and how it truly can change lives. So let's read in Hebrews chapter 10. If y'all will, please stand with me, and we'll sing "Nothing But the Blood of Jesus." What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is that flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19. Now you'll understand why we sung that. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter the holiest. Look at that next phrase. By the blood of Jesus. Father, we thank you tonight for your Son's shed blood on the cross so that we might be saved. And we pray that you would show us more about you tonight. In the name of your Son, amen. All right. I just want to start out real quickly by saying that the blood of Jesus is powerful. How many of you would agree with me that the blood of Jesus is powerful? There's a lot of blood out there that can truly change lives. I know that they've got some rare types of blood that when they run into catastrophic things, they'll try to get people to come and donate that type of blood. I know there's certain types that they really need at certain times because some people can't find it. So there's blood out there that can change lives. Some people go into the hospital and they've lost so much blood that they have to have a blood transfusion. So thank God for somebody else's blood, because that can make a huge difference in somebody's life, in so much that he can actually save their life, physically speaking. They can get a transfusion, or they can take a few quarts or pints if they're a quart low, right? And they can get that blood in them and make them live where they otherwise would not be able to live. But blood is super important. But I will say this, blood is not just important, it's potent. It's very powerful. But there's no other blood like the blood of Jesus. When I look at Revelation chapter 12, verse 11, it says that they conquered Satan by what? The blood of Jesus. It says the blood of the Lamb, and by the word of their testimony, for they loved not their lives even unto death. They loved God so much that they were willing to die for Him. But when they got into battle, they realized that the only way they were going to win was if they had been covered by the blood of Jesus. When the children of Israel were in Egyptian bondage, if you remember, they took a little lamb and they slew it and they put the blood over the doorposts and lintels of the house. And it says that when they did that the death angel passed by. Do you know why the death angel passed by? Because he realized that the word of God, after having been spoken, was so strong inside that room where the blood had been applied that he didn't want to go in there. Because the blood that God speaks of is important. And it's potent. It's very, very powerful. I think about how God rescues from sin and how powerful that is. Have you ever thought about, and I don't know how many people we got in here that have a real bad, bad past. Maybe you were a really, really bad person. I don't know. I mean, I've met some of those people before after they have been saved. I remember reading the story of Mel Trotter. If y'all have never read that story of Mel Trotter, my goodness, what a terrible man he was. I won't go into any details about some of the things that they say that this man did, but what an awful person. But after he got saved, his whole life was changed. He actually became a preacher and started preaching the Word of God. And even after some of the deeds that he had done, and it's kind of hard sometimes to think that someone could have done that and then now serve the Lord, but I'm going to tell you what has happened to them. They had a life change. Something changed inside them. They don't have the same blood flowing through their veins that they used to. They've got the blood of Jesus. Isn't that amazing how it can take an old crazy person and make them sane? It can take an old terrible person and make them not so terrible anymore, right? I know some of the nicest people. And man, if you would have seen them way back when, I didn't know them back then. But my dad tells me all the time, he used to be one of the most filthy mouthed people that but I've never even heard him use profanity. My dad, 75 now. I've never heard him really use negative language, nasty language. It wasn't the way we grew up. Now, I did once or twice and had to eat a bar of soap, and that wasn't very nice. But I remember having the model set before me that you don't talk like that. I live in a city right now where some of the kids in our school, I have to get them sometimes for the language that they use. But isn't it funny how God can change that? The places that they used to go, the things that they used to do, that's all changed once the blood has been applied. Isn't that neat? I have trouble, and I don't know, this is maybe going way out on limb, but I have a lot of trouble. I've heard this many, many times before, that somebody will come to church and they'll get right with God or rededicate their lives, and then a few weeks later they're back on whatever they used to be on. That's hard for me to realize. I wonder if the blood has been applied. I know they want it. But do they have it? I don't know. It's between them and God. But it's just hard for me because I'll be honest with you. I don't have the desires to do the things that the blood would not otherwise let me. I mean, I would just go out there and do whatever I wanted to if I didn't have the blood of Jesus applied. Isn't it amazing how it changes you? How many of y'all would? It just changes you, doesn't it? So I think it's powerful. It helps you to overcome the enemy. It helps you realize how far he had to reach to rescue you. And what an amazing rescue that was. The Bible says he reached way, way down into a miry pit. Isn't that what he says? Set me up upon a rock. What an amazing rescue. And all because of the blood. I think about how powerful it is, but I also think about how purifying it is. That's special to me because as a young kid, I remember reading in the Bible that if you sin, you've come short of the glory of God. Has anybody ever really put that to thought a little bit? Has anybody ever really contemplated that deeply? Just set some time and just think about how short you are of the glory of God. You ever thought about that? Just sit some time and realize that He is a holy God, righteous God. He has never sinned. He knows no sin. Never even had a sinful thought. Now, how many of us can say that? I mean, amazing God. What an amazing God we serve. However, I've come so far short of His glory. How could I stand before such a God? Have you ever realized that when you walk day to day, you walk in the very sight of God? Think about that. I read all throughout the Bible how God saw somebody do this, and it says it grieved him sore when he looked down in the days of Noah and he saw all those people sinning. He said that they were marrying and giving in marriage, and they were living a lifestyle that he didn't create them to do. He didn't. That's not what his design was. But how many of us mess up God's design for our lives? I mean, it's pretty evident that we're short of the glory of God. But then I read on where it says Noah found what? Grace in the eyes of God. Now, if I were to do a Hebrew word study, and I'm really tempted to do it, but I'll try not to tonight. But I'll just tell you that the word for grace in Hebrew, actually, if you were to spell it out in the old language that Moses would have written, it would have been the pictographic style. They call it Paleo-Hebrew. If you were to write it out and you were to read it, they read right to left, you would see that the word grace means God's eyes opening unto you. The way we would put it in English is God saw you. Now think about this. He looks down on the dark world and he sees all this sin, but there's one little bright spot down there called Noah, and he sees Noah and his mind fixates on Noah. And he says, hey, there's one that knows my law and meditates in it day and night. There's one who's like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf shall not wither, and neither shall he, and I'll make him prosper. Isn't that amazing? That's the way God looked at Noah. It was his eyes opening unto Noah, and it says that he showed grace unto him. The whole world would be destroyed by a flood, but not Noah. Do you know why? I just kind of believe Noah had the blood applied. Now, Jesus hadn't died the vicarious death for us yet there on the cross, but the Bible says that Jesus was the lamb slain when? Yeah, thank you, Brother Bradley. He was the lamb slain before the foundation of the world. So really, his blood's been flowing since the beginning of time. Isn't it amazing to know that Jesus is, that one moment on the cross was what we just really hold on to. And when he resurrected from the grave, we really hold on to that. And when he ascended to the right hand of the Father, we really hold on to that. But do you know what the book of Hebrews says that he did when he ascended to the heavens? He took the blood to the mercy seat. Isn't that what he did? What an eternal move for us. So that when we sin, and we do, God can forgive our sins and purify us. Isn't it amazing to know that we can walk one day a sinner on our way to hell, but God can intervene with his salvation and purify us with his blood. I wish I could have brought all the materials tonight and shown you. There's a little demonstration that you can do with iodine and all this stuff, and I could show you. Daddy's used to do this for vacation Bible school. You can dirty up a cloth, and then somehow he does this little demonstration where he dips it in this water, and the water's got something in it, and it just makes the sheet white as snow. And he says that that's kind of what Jesus does. He takes us and he dips us and we come out white as snow. Isn't that amazing? God's word, God's blood purifies. I love to know that it is purifying. Ephesians chapter 1 verse number 7 says, in him we have redemption through what? His blood. You can be redeemed through his blood. I love the purifying that we've gone through. It says, according to the riches of his grace. Then he says this at what we call the Lord's Supper. I love this study of the blood of Jesus. His disciples are sitting there and they're wondering what's all going on. And of course, they know something big's about to happen because they keep asking him questions. And he says this. He says, take and drink. This is the blood of my covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. Now you think about that for just a minute. I can forgive if someone offends me. I've been offended before. How many of y'all have been offended? And they've come to me and they've said, I am so sorry. And I've said, I forgive you. And I've also offended. And it's sad to say this, but I've done it. And I've had to say, please forgive me. And you know what they've done? They've said, I forgive you. And what an amazing display of renewed friendship that can bring when you forgive. But I want to share something with you. There is not one person in this room that can forgive my sins. Neither can I forgive yours. Even if I wear the collar with the little white piece right here, I cannot forgive your sins. Even if you're sitting on one side and I'm sitting on the other and there's a little screen there and I tell you how many to do and how many to say, that'll not forgive your sins. I can share that with you tonight boldly and say that there's only one that can forgive sins. And that's the high priest. And it's only by the blood of Jesus that we can be forgiven. Isn't it amazing to think about the purification that can come in a sinner's life just by the blood of Jesus? It's powerful, but it's also purifying. I think about how he was telling his disciples that the blood of the Lamb not only delivered them from Egypt, but this blood of this lamb that was about to be slain at Golgotha that day would clean for the... Let me back up. The one in Egypt cleansed them for a year. The one in the wilderness when they built the tabernacle and they would bring the little lamb, it would clean the sins for a year. But this blood that Jesus would shed would cleanse for all eternity. Isn't that amazing? Purifying, isn't it? I'm very happy to say that I have the blood applied. Not only does it forgive us from our sins, but it also purifies our conscience. Have you ever read this? Hebrews chapter 9, verse 14 says, "How much more will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered Himself without blemish to God, purify our conscience from dead works to serve the living God?" Now wait just a minute. God can purify our conscience. How many of you remember the things you used to do? How many of you does it weigh on you a little bit? I've been there. I've allowed it to distract me, disturb me. I've allowed it to keep me held back. But I'll be honest with you. There comes a time when God's blood can literally purify your conscience. He can tell you through the blood that all that stuff's in the past. He can say, look, you know how far the east is from the west? That's how far I've put them. Do you know the depths of the sea? That's where I put them. I can purify the conscience through the blood of Jesus. Isn't that amazing? I'll be honest with you. If we just stopped right there tonight, not only would you be happy, but you would also realize that the conscience that bothers you, the conscience that kind of keeps you distracted, that can be cleansed. That can be purified. I'm not talking about all the evil that we've done or all the sin. I'm talking about dead works. Things that Paul said in Hebrews chapter 12, I think he said, laying aside all of the weight, right? And the sin which does so easily beset us. See, there's two things you're supposed to lay aside. You're supposed to lay aside the weight, but you're also supposed to lay aside the sin. Now, we know about the sin, but what is the weight that keeps you held down? I don't know about you, but I have problems sometimes. If I sit down on the couch, I automatically, it's almost like it's. I'm programmed to grab the remote. Guys in the room, admit it. You sit down on the couch or in that chair, what does your arm automatically do? Right? That is a weight on me. I'm not going to lie. If I catch myself watching, I heard this one time, Brother Daniel, you'll love this. They say, and I know it's crazy to think about it, but they say if you watch TV for 9 minutes, you're in a state of hypnosis. Did y'all know that? There's alpha waves. There's gamma waves. I don't know all the terms I could use. I might be messing this up, butchering it big time. But all the waves that come into your mind and brain can either engage your brain in a way that can cause it to critically think and problem solve and come up with creative ideas, or it can cause it to just sit there. And that's what the TV does. I'm telling you, this is brain research. Hey, I've got kids at school. If I talk to them for more than 9 minutes, guess what? They're ready for a commercial. Seriously. How many men, be honest tonight, how many of y'all fall asleep watching TV? I'm honest. We'll rent a movie or something and think, oh, we're really going to watch this movie we've been wanting to see for 6 months. I get about 15 minutes in, then I wake up, I feel like, I'm like, what happened? I have to ask her for the Cliff Note version. I fall asleep. You know why? Because it is a weight on me. That's something I should, be honest, grab this thing and be reading this three times as much as I watch TV. Now, no doubt, sometimes I'm watching important stuff, right? I'm watching Donald Trump. Watching Hillary Clinton. Trying to keep up with the news. I truly believe that the sons of Issachar were very important to their time because they understood their time. And I think we should understand our times. I truly believe that. But I'll be honest with you. I have weight on me sometimes. And I know I'm using TV as an example, but there's all kinds of other things. It may be just little habits that you have that needs to be broken. And to be honest with you, through the blood of Jesus, you can have your conscience purified of dead works. Some of the things that just don't matter. Some of the things that just don't make a difference. Some of the things that lead others, maybe not wrong, but it doesn't lead them right. So those are the things that I want to purify myself of. I don't ever want to be one of those people that makes a negative impact or makes no impact. I want to be the kind of person that if I come in, that they realize something's different about that guy. He must have the blood applied. That's what I want to be like. It's powerful and it's purifying. It can even purify your conscience. Not only are we forgiven from sin, but we are also sanctified through the blood of Jesus. What amazing blood this must be. He can purify us by forgiving us of our sins, purifying our conscience, searing our conscience. I mean, amazing what he can do with the dead works thing. But then also, he can literally develop a relationship with us. I said this morning, it's like a friend relationship. But in the Hebrew, literally, if you did the sacrifices like Leviticus told you to, and you were a Gentile, they would let you become a Jew. Did you know that? Did anybody know that? Go back in Leviticus, and it says this. It says this. If you are not a Jew, but you follow the Torah, which is the first five books, right? And you do the sacrifices, and you do all that stuff, you now are part of the family. You have the same protection as blood relation would in the Jewish faith back in the day. Now, I know that sounds foreign to us, because I'll be honest with you, studying this stuff, it blew my mind that you can become a Jew and you don't even have to be a Hebrew. I mean, you can just be a Jew, right? I can be a Jew. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that who God sent Moses to get out of Egypt? Isn't that who Jesus says? He says, I came not but unto the what? Lost sheep of the house of who? And you can become an Israelite. You want to be an Israelite? I want to be an Israelite. Y'all don't want to be Israelites, do you? Some people do. You want to be an Israelite? Guess what? Get the blood of Jesus. Because you can be grafted into the family of God. Have you ever studied the vine and the... Have you ever studied that? John chapter 10? Where it talks about the vine and how you can graft a vine in. I've seen them do that. You can go to YouTube and watch the videos. It's really beautiful how they take those vines and they graft them in. I've seen them actually do that to trees before, where they take limbs from trees that have been blown off and they literally graft it back in and make it live again. Do you realize that the Bible says, ye who were dead in trespasses and sin, I have quickened. You know how he did it? When your blood doesn't work anymore, his is everlasting. It's powerful. It's purifying. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 2 says that Jesus also suffered in order to sanctify the people through his blood. That's Hebrews chapter 13, verse number 12. God's calling his people right now in 2016 to be a holy people. That's not preached as much as it used to be, is it? Like I said this morning, there are people sitting in pews all over America this morning. Probably not tonight. Not on Wednesday night either, right? But on Sunday mornings, there's people sitting in pews all over thinking that church attendance is their righteousness. Isn't that sad? Not about the way they live. Not about the way they present their bodies holy, acceptable. Right? But God is calling us to be holy. Do you know why he wants us to be holy? It's real simple. Four words. For he is holy. Listen to this. He is holy. Be ye holy, for I am holy. Isn't that what he said? Do you want to be God's follower? If you do and you want to follow him, then we ought to be holy. God can sanctify us. I'll be honest with you, as a 36-year-old, never having drank alcohol, that's not boastful, that's not proud, but I can say this, God took a desire away from me that I never even had. I got to 21, and I didn't go out and do that. I just didn't have the desire. I have no desire to go to Colorado and have some of that stuff that they've made legal over there either. I don't want the problems that all that stuff brings. And I know why I don't want it. It's because in Psalm 37, he said that he would give you the desires of your heart. Now watch this. Some people translate that like this, that he'll give you what you want. Right? A desire is a want. He'll give you what you want. But if you read it in Hebrew, he's saying, I will implant in your heart desires that are holy. Changed it, didn't it? I just got cold chills all over my body thinking about that God can implant the desire that he wants for us. Not that he will give me, I'd like to have a brand new vehicle. I'd like to have a nice new house. I'd like to have all this stuff. That stuff can wait, but the desires to be holy are implanted in us. Do you know what the New Testament says about the Old Testament? He said, when I wrote the Torah, they followed it in the Old Testament, and when they didn't, I put them in bondage. But now the New Covenant states like this, it may not be written like that, but I can write it in your heart. You may not have all the laws that bind you. Like in Romans, it talks about being bound by the law. And that's how you know you're a sinner, is because you know the law. But he says, thank God for grace in so much that where sin abounded, what happened? Grace did much more abound. I thank God for implanting in me the desire, the godly desire. And do you know why I have that desire? Because of the blood of Jesus. Do you know what's so awesome about the blood of Jesus is that it changes our whole attitude about life. It's no longer about the pleasures of life. It's about making sure that things are done by the order of God. And then you start getting blessed. How many of you are blessed tonight? Be honest. You walk around and you're healthy and you're well and you drive a nice car and you go home to a nice house and you have all this stuff and you can help people. How many of you feel blessed to be able to help people? We help people sometimes and it just feels so good to help people. You know why? Because God has given you that desire to help people. It's a purifying, it's a powerful blood. It can sanctify us. He's calling us to be holy. I love it in Hebrews 12:14. Listen to this straight out of the Bible. This is not Nathan Houghton's version. This is God. He says, follow peace with all men and holiness. Listen to this. Without which no man shall see the Lord. Interpret that real fast. He said this, follow peace with all men and holiness, comma, without which no man shall see the Lord. Do you realize you will not see the Lord without holiness? The Bible says our righteousness, similar to the word holiness in Hebrew, our righteousness is as what? Filthy rags, not to be offered to a king. But through the blood of Jesus we can be holy. I love the relationship that comes when the blood of Jesus is applied. I've read the story of Jacob and Esau, and you've read that where they come back together and they reunite as brethren in the book of Genesis. If you've never read that, it's a beautiful story. It says that they got together, and Jacob was fearful because Esau was a tough guy. Jacob was this guy who had worked 7 years and got duped, right? And then he worked another 7 years and finally got what he was working for. And then he had all these kids, and God started blessing him. And the father-in-law to Jacob even tried to take advantage of him. But God blessed him even in that. And all the cattle that Jacob had started to get big in number. And he started having all these animals. And that's how he got rich back then, was a bunch of animals. And I mean, amazing what wealth he amassed in just a few short years, really. And it says that as he was making his way back and he knew Esau was coming, he said he got fearful. And wondered and wondered if Esau was still wanting to kill him. It says Esau and Jacob got together and they reunited. And do you know that the relationship between the two brothers got so heavy that they both tried to give each other everything they had? I mean, Jacob was saying, hey man, God's blessed me with all these cows. I want to give you some cows. God's blessed me with all this. I want to give it to you. What an amazing relationship between two brothers. But the Bible says that he wants a relationship with us, Jesus, that sticks closer than a brother. Isn't it amazing? I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. That's a promise. And do you know why I know he was serious? Because he shed his blood. He got real serious on the cross, didn't he? Died, gave up the ghost for me. He laid his body out and took stripes for me. He let them. This guy was so powerful. Jesus had the power of God. And he let them pluck his beard and slap him in the face and crown him with thorns and beat him and bruise him and spit on him and mock him. I mean, amazing pain that he went through. And do you know how serious he was? He died, was buried, and then wouldn't let the grave hold him down, and came up out of the grave and took that blood to the mercy seat. That's precious, isn't it? God's blood is powerful. It's purifying. And it's for sure, it's precious. There is no price you could put on Jesus' blood. If I offered you any amount of money that Donald Trump has ever seen, or any of those guys in world politics or in business that are so rich that they can't even really figure out how much money they even have, if I offered you all of that for your salvation, I bet there's not one of you in this room that would take it. The Bible says that what would it be if we gained the whole world but lost our soul? The soul is so worth to us that there's no way you'd give it up for any price. That blood of Jesus. My little girl sang it a minute ago. Oh, the blood of Jesus. Oh, the blood of Jesus. Oh, the blood of Jesus. It washes white as snow. Now, I want you to know something real quickly. We get, when we're writing poetry in English, we borrowed a few ideas from other languages and the way they structure their poetry. When you state something more than once, you're emphasizing it. When you state something three times, especially in Hebrew, if you remember this morning when I was reading in the book of Genesis chapter 39, it said, the Lord was with him. The Lord was with him. The Lord was with him. He's trying to say to you, if you didn't hear me the first time, I want you to understand the Lord was with him. And then this third time when he says it, I want you to understand something else about this. It's very important that you understand that the word three is very significant, or the number three is very significant in the Bible. Jesus was in the grave 3 days, right? He wanted everybody to know that it was sealed, that he had done what he said he was going to do. The relationship that he would have with us in the resurrection is a very precious relationship. And I want to point this out real quickly as we go back to Hebrews chapter number 10. I've said it's powerful blood, it's purifying blood, it's precious blood, but I want to share this with you. It's blood that enables us to pray. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh, and having an high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. You know, it's getting closer and closer. The day's approaching. There's no more time to be more loving than now. I know I get frustrated. I have a quick temper, and I have to really watch it. They that know my dad know where I get it from, too. I mean, he is short-fused, and I grew up with that, and I kind of learned that. It's really, really easy to get me mad real fast, and so I got to really watch that because I don't want to offend in a way that I could be a stumbling block to others. But the Bible says, a new commandment I give unto you, that you what? Love one another as I have loved you, and this is how they'll know that you belong to me, that you've got the blood applied. He loved us enough to shed the blood. We need to love him enough to spread the word. Isn't that amazing? As we stand, heads bowed, eyes closed.